Raring to go. I am. It took me a while to get going this morning, but I'm here. It's the first morning in about 9 mornings that I haven't been woken up at 5:30 by a rooster. Been at Ken and Lexi's place while they've been away, and either been woken up by a dog or a rooster. And so it's the first time I've woken up to an alarm in a long time. So it took me by surprise this morning. Yeah, that'd be great. You know when preachers get up and they, before they even preach, they might show off their books and their resources and their DVDs and things like that. I'm going to do, I haven't written a book or anything, but I want to show you a very special resource that I want to just introduce this morning. So, Lockie, if we're ready to go. Yes? Ready to go with the video? Cool. This is a very special resource. Enjoy this.
It's all about me, really.
It is all about you. Now the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now, I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you, because you are unique and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can do
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do.
Are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing, and I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yuletide Favorites. Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at me-myself-and-I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
Great exclusive resource, and if you're interested in a copy, come and see me afterwards, and I'm happy to. I've got a box of them out the back. So, as funny and as ridiculous as this video may be, I think there's some serious truth we can actually take from it this morning. I think we all know people like this. Sure, in more subtle ways, they're not going to start singing those type of songs, but. And I'm sure if we were humble enough to admit it and honest enough with ourselves, I think this can be us from time to time. So this is basically my message this morning. And I want to talk about tearing down the idol of self this morning. Tearing down the idol of self. And who knows, we're all born with a sinful, selfish, fleshly nature. And that's going to be the major theme this morning. The fact that we, as human beings, are prone and drawn towards ourself, our selfishness, the worship of ourselves. And also going to share on how Jesus shows a better way than this and how this culture is so like this, really. In obviously more subtle ways, but really, that's what it's all about. So this morning, I come aware that, yes, we know that some people are more selfish than other people, but let's not come as a judge this morning. Let's remember that God is our judge of you and me. So let's just come and humble ourselves and start from the same point this morning. Amen? Amen. So, ourselves can be an idol. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Ourselves can be an idol. I think I read something in a book where the title was Tearing Down the Idol of Self. And I thought that was a really, really good way of putting it. So it kind of got me ticking about this whole topic. And when you think of an idol is basically something that takes God's lordship in your life, something that exalts itself above God. And sometimes when we think of idols, we think of extreme things like false gods and false religions and all these extreme things. But an idol is anything that exalts itself above God. And I think a lot of God's people have an idol, and it's themselves. It's themselves, and we're all guilty of it. I'm not standing up here saying that I'm the most unselfish person you've ever seen. I mean, I've lived. If you ask Kerry, I've had plenty of. It's funny because I've been preparing this week, and I've been so selfish this week, probably because I've been preparing it, and I can see it within myself. But and you might say, what has a 26-year-old got to say about selfishness? What would he know? But it's just what God showed me this morning. Okay, selfishness can be defined as devoted to or caring only for oneself, concerned primarily with one's own interests, benefits, and welfare, regardless of others, and can also be characterized or manifesting concern or care only for oneself. So selfishness is played out in a lot of areas in our life. The things that we do, the things that we say, the way we think, our view of the world, our view of church, and our relationship with other people, and in so many other ways as well. My wants, my needs, my desires, my opinion, my voice, my way. Does this sound familiar? It's all about me, as we sang about before and enjoyed before. So if you have yourself as an idol, you are in practice and in theory worshipping yourself, yeah? Because an idol is anything that exalts itself above God. And if God is not the Lord of your life and you're controlling everything, then you're exalted above God in your own heart, in your own life. God's obviously exalted, but we make the decision if he's exalted in our own heart. And because when we look at ourselves and exalt ourselves above God, we are looking within ourselves for something that God only provides. Things like purpose, joy and peace and strength, things like that. When we look for that within our own self and don't even draw it from the God that has it all and everything and abundant of it all, we'll live a life that's frustrating, unfulfilling, and just you'll be limited in what you can do. You'll be limited in what you can do. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. In James 3:14-16, I think this is the NIV version, says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." You hear that? Selfishness is a destructive force in our life. It's very destructive. Where it is, it says in the scriptures here, there's disorder. Disorder. There's this, I don't need to explain anything more, but and every vile practice. And it says it's earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. That's pretty intense. This selfishness, if we allow it just to completely consume us, then it's very destructive, very destructive. And like I said earlier, we're all guilty of it from time to time, maybe more extremes than others, or depends how we're going in the week, or depends how we feel. Because we've got to remember that it is in our selfish, sinful ways. And as we live in this flesh, we are prone to be drawn to self. Because our flesh that we live in desires to fulfill our selfish needs. That's just what it is, really. And if you dispute whether or not you're selfish or not, then I've got a funny and quick revealing question to ask you, then it worked for me and I'm like, yeah, I'm selfish. So let me ask you a question. Who is the first person that you look for in a group photo? Yourself. That's me anyway. I think that's a few of you. So that's just a little exercise to prove that we're all selfish. We all look at each other. We all, and whenever the photos, whenever we look bad in a group photo, we're like, oh, that's a terrible photo. It might look, might be a beautiful, beautiful photo, but it's like, that's a terrible photo. Look at my face. It looks disgusting. So we're drawn to ourselves in our flesh. We are drawn to self. And I believe the thing that will limit the expansion and the building of God's kingdom and his church, and the fact that we need to keep growing in God and growing with each other as well, is the idol of self, if we're just obsessed about ourselves. You know what I'm saying this morning? And man, has this been revealed in my own life this week? I'm like, oh man, I don't really want to preach this because I feel like a... This day and age, I live in Australia, right? But in this kind of affluent, prosperous world that we live in the sense of the countries that are only prosperous, it's such a self-centered, me-driven culture. It is just unbelievable. Everything, like I said earlier, my wants, my needs, my opinions, my wants, my da-da-da-da-da. That's the society that we live in. And it says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, I'll read it out. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. How much does that reflect today's world in how people treat each other and things like that? But the first of that long list of things says people will be lovers of themselves. And that's our world today. And as Christians, we live in that culture. We live as a part of the culture. And you think about Australia, you think about the US, you think about UK and all like Europe, all these prosperous nations. And most of the people in this country have the world at their feet. They have so many options, so many things, so many ways to go, and yet they're the most depressed and unhappy people in the world. Why? Because it's all about them. It's all about them. And as Christians, as I mentioned, we live in this culture, and I believe that as followers of Christ, we are called to tear down the idol of self and get it down, pull it down, and exalt God in our life. Exalt God in our life. And we need to ensure that this idol doesn't rise up within us, because we live in the flesh and it's going to, as I said, we're prone towards that and it's going to rise up within us for sure. But we've got to ensure that we keep Jesus as Lord of our lives, because there can be only one Lord and one God of our lives. It's either God or yourself. And it should be pretty evident by the fruit in your life. As John the Baptist, one of my favourite scriptures in John 3:30, it says, John the Baptist talking about Jesus. He must become greater, I must become less. Or in another version it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. May that be our prayer this morning, in our hearts this morning, that Jesus may increase in our hearts and our lives, and we may just decrease and be pushed down a bit and just exalt Jesus in our lives. Amen? If you get anything out of today, that's the main point. May he become greater and us become less. Talking of Jesus, he was without a doubt, the most unselfish person that ever walked the earth. He was without sin, and therefore he walked the talk. And he taught about this issue as well. But if you just look at the life of Jesus, and if you examine his life in the Gospels, you can just see a man that is so unselfish in the way things he does. He didn't even think about himself. It wasn't even a battle for him, because he was from God in flesh, obviously. And he's our example this morning. He is our example. He is our inspiration. He is the one that empowers us to be able to live an unselfish life. And Jesus said in Mark 8:34, he said, this is in NLT version, it says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. That scripture's always got me. And in the Amplified Version it says, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and his own interests, take up his cross, joining me as a disciple and siding with my party, follow me, continually cleaving steadfastly to me. There's so much in that. I might read it later on, but it's so good. And in other parallel scriptures in Matthew and Luke, it says daily you are to deny yourself and take up your cross. Daily, daily, daily. It's a daily thing. It really is. And what this scripture kind of tells us a lot of things. What it tells us is our own selfishness is in opposition to our full devotion to Christ. That's what's going to stop us from really living full lives for Christ and actually surrendering our lives to Christ. And that's evident in that scripture. If we would just turn, if you want to be a true disciple of Christ, turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Pretty simple. When we give our lives to God, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are surrendering our lives and ourselves to him. This is the part of salvation, the transaction of salvation, that we give up control of our life, that we give up everything. Our interests, our desires, our wants, our needs, our whole self, and make him the Lord of our life. That's the transaction. And that's the battle that we face every day to make sure that Jesus is exalted and stays above ourself. That's constantly trying to get above Jesus, because that's the flesh, that's our sinful nature. That's the battle we're in. In Galatians 2:20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. See the transaction here. My old self has been crucified with Christ. My old self, referring to my old sinful, fleshly, selfish nature, has been crucified with Christ. It's been put to death. As we put that to death, the life of Christ is within us. I think it's such a powerful truth that daily we are to deny ourselves, crucify ourselves. It's such strong language, because that's what it involves, to put death to our selfish yearnings and the ways that we live our life sometimes. It also says in Philippians, this is a very practical way of putting it, in Philippians 2, 3-4 it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Wow, what a powerful scripture. And I'm going to go back to that. But selfishness and unselfishness is really played out a lot in our relationships with other people. That's the display of it, really, how we relate to other people. So what we say, what we do, what we think, and how we treat other people, that's a great test for us as Christians and as God's people. And can we honestly say that we humble ourselves and value others above ourselves, not looking for our own interest, and each of you to the interest of others? It's a convicting scripture to look at your life and go, oh, okay. It's not about us. As the guy was singing, it's all about me, you know, all that. It's not about us. And as we'll see later, that as we turn our eyes away from ourselves, we're definitely happier people. Definitely a happy people, because it's the way that Jesus intended for us to live. And you're starting to see that Jesus put in a better way of living. He is the way, the truth, and the life, meaning his way of doing things is different to to what the world is doing, how the world is doing things. It's complete opposite directions, pretty much. And before I go any further, let's also remember that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. So as we're sitting here now, and we might be getting things, God's showing me as well, how there's a lot of selfish things in my life that need some work. But he hasn't come to condemn us. He's come to show us and to save us from ourselves and show us a better way with him by our side. It's a great truth, eh? And we've got to remember that it's not our own strength but it's not our own strength that allows us to live this life of selfishness, because our flesh has been crucified and we have life in Christ. So once the life of Christ is flowing through us, we can live in an unselfish way in all of our ways. So don't think it's up to our own strength and our own abilities to be able to do it. It's Christ's perfection that runs through us that gives us the ability to do it in the perfect way that he's laid out for us. And so as I said, it's fair enough to say that we should just stop being selfish, and let's just stop being selfish. But we need to replace this selfishness with something. And we need to replace selfishness with our devotion to Jesus and to follow his example of servanthood. That's what I'm seeing in the scriptures, that in Matthew 20:28, Jesus said about himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is Jesus speaking here, the one that is God in flesh, the man that is the perfect man, deserves to be served. He's Jesus, and yet he came to the earth to serve and not to be served. And I think that's amazing. It really is amazing. And so when I said earlier about following the example of Jesus, that's where to start from. That he came to serve and not be served. And in Philippians 2:3-8, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interests, but each of you in the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Christ Jesus, in who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross." And he didn't take he had the nature of God with him, but he didn't use it to his own advantage. He took the very nature of a servant and chose to serve rather than be served. Jesus is just such an amazing person to study and to learn about and to know, because he's such a humble spirit that he places on your life. Because that's who he is. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's where, how he should be rubbing off on us in that way. And so my challenge today is to let us live a life that imitates Christ. That imitates Christ. And remember that as followers of Christ, we are called to humble ourselves and to serve rather than be served. I think that's a great attitude to have in life. And that's the attitude that Jesus came with, the perfect, sinless man. And in our relationship with others, let's remember that scripture I've read out many times now. In humility, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So let's be open this morning. Let's have our eyes open this morning and be ready for a change in our mindsets and the change in how we do things and how we think and how we view things. And just remember, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about the greater picture. And it's not what the world teaches. It's not what today's schools teach. It's not what anyone teaches. But Jesus taught it while he was on this earth. And I want to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. And what does Jesus say? We are to If you want to be his true disciples, you are to deny self, take up your cross, and follow him. And that's what he's calling us to do. We're in danger of thinking that, as I was saying, if you start to deny yourself, you think, oh, so I'm just going to be like serving all the time and people just going to suck me dry and I'm going to be so, just me just giving all the time and giving and giving. But the way it should work really, if everyone's serving one another, if everyone's putting each other's interests ahead of what each of our own interests, then the circle of serving should really make sure that when you're serving, you've got to be ready to receive someone else's service, because when you receive someone else's service, you can continue to serve. See what I'm saying? Because it's not just, because sometimes it is hard to be a server where it's like you're just serving, you're serving, you're serving, you're serving, you're serving, you're serving, and you're getting nothing back. But how it should be working in the body of Christ is everyone's looking for out for each other. And if everyone else is looking out for each other, then everyone's going to be happy. Because once we decide that it's not about me, I want to serve other people, then all of a sudden all of this stuff comes back to you, and you're saying, receive all this service and people's love and people's generosity and people's just kindness towards you, because it's just the cycle. It's what God intended within the body. And I think there's too many people in the church that are trying to get their own way and trying to do their own thing and trying to find a church that's for them and for their interests. But really, it's not about them. It's not about us anymore. Our life has been crucified with Christ. And yes, we need to make sure that we take care of ourselves and look out for ourselves. But the thing is, we can't be the sole focus and number one priority in our life, because, as I said earlier, we'll just get frustrated, unfulfilled, and just be so, have the blinkers on so in our life that we'll just be limited in what God can do with us and how much he can grow us. So let's tear down the idol of self this morning. Let's tear it down and let us replace it with our devotion with Jesus and to follow his example of servanthood. Because if we look out for other people's interests and just forget about, take our eyes off ourselves for a minute, I believe we'll be more content with our life, more fulfilled and more joyful people. Because as I said, like the cycle, it just comes back, it just comes back, it just comes back, it keeps going, keeps going. And I believe we'll be a greater witness to the world. We'll be able to actually be living as Jesus lived, and we'll be able to reflect him in this world. I wasn't sure if I was going to play this video or not, but I want to play a video. It's a bit different, but I've failed in this so far to actually show some practical outworking of what a selfless life looks like and what it is to be a servant. And this video, I saw it yesterday actually, and I thought, I wasn't sure to play it or not, but I'll play it. So Lockie, if we could play it, it goes for about 4 minutes. Just focus on the people you see in the video.
Break his heart. is what gave it love first. Oh, well, life is not all that it's worth. Cause life is fleeting. Yeah, but I love you. And my love surrounds you like an ether. In everything that you do. Sun and moon to you, and if you share
with your heart,
yeah, you give
with your heart.
What you share with the world is what it keeps of you.
I made my point. Let's look out for others in our life, not just in the church, but in our everyday life, in our at our work, when we're shopping, when we're doing anything, at school. Let's look out for one another, and remember that we're followers of Christ, and we're inspired by His example, and I just want to pray for you, and then we'll get Ken to come up, I think. Lord, we thank you that you've shown us a better way, a better way than every other way that we could live our life. And I just pray this morning that we'd give our life fully to Jesus and fully devoted to him. And Lord, would you just show us things in our lives that we need to be, that we need to change, and we need to actively do something about. And you would be exalted in our lives, Lord Jesus, that you would remain the Lord of our life and our heart. And we're amazed by you. We're amazed by your humble nature, and we want to live like you. And be imitators of you, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, Ken.
Bit of a reality check there for us all, eh? What do you reckon? And it's just amazing how, you know, God uses each of us to speak to each other, to share with each other. And, you know, there's so much in the New Testament that is a one another encouragement for us all to function that way. And God gives us the example. And I go back to a scripture that I looked up a little earlier on in the service, and I thought, no, it wasn't time to present it. But Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What a great scripture that is. Psalm 46, 1. God's always there on our behalf. God's always there for us. And it goes on and it says this. It gives a descriptive of some pretty terrible scenarios. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake with its swelling, yet there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. And yeah, there's a lot of turmoil going on. Look at the Philippines now and what's going on over there. Look at the people facing the most horrific circumstances and situations whose lives have just been completely turned upside down by a natural catastrophe. And I wonder how many of them can turn around and say, the Lord is my strength, a very present help in trouble, without the people of God showing that as an example. And each one of us have had turmoil in our life. Each one have had situations that have just probably thrown us completely off kilter. And we need to be able to turn around and say, the Lord has been my strength. How has he been your strength? Well, we can certainly call and pray. But has someone come along and put a word of encouragement into your life at that time of strife? Has someone come along and just been able to encourage you in your joy and in your peace and in whatever God's got for you and give you a good word at a time? Has someone been able to come along and just be an arm of comfort to us? And you know, if the Lord is our refuge and our strength, he also expects us to reflect his example to one another. I think that was the most amazing word of encouragement to every one of us, to be aware of not just ourselves, but each one that God has put into our lives and our circle of friends and our circle of influence for his name and for his glory. Today, I don't know, there's a couple of things I just want to encourage us in. Is that one is to be aware of it, as Anthony really did encourage us to. But secondly, just to bring that scripture to your mind. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Maybe you're going through things at the moment that you need some encouragement in. Maybe you just need God's peace and God's strength in your life. Maybe you've just found that this week has been a bit too hard. Maybe you're finding circumstances in general a little bit rugged and rough. Can we pray with you? Can we stand with you? Can we just be an encouragement to you? You may or may not want to come out for prayer at the front, but can we all stand? Can we all just stand? Thank you, Father. Today, Lord Jesus, we stand for one another in this place. We stand, Lord, because we know you're our strength. You're our God. You never fail us. You never let us down. We can always depend on you. And so I pray, Father, as a church, we will reflect that in the life that we live, that we will show that same solitude and that same support and that same strengthening for one another. We will show that same care one for another. We will show that same concern one for another. We will be there one for another. We will love one another, pray one for another, be bold one for another, and encourage one another just as your word exhorts. And so today, Lord Jesus, for the person on our left, for the person on our right, for those around about us, we stand as their strength, as their peace, as their portion right now in the name of Jesus. We will walk together. We will uphold each one. We will strengthen the feeble. We will pray for the sick. We will walk alongside those that need comfort and peace. We will stand firm and stand strong for those who are going through turmoil, and we will be the people of God that you've called us to be in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray our eyes will be open to see the need and to be the answer. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.